It's 5:30, Tuesday, April 26th. I'll call this work session to order. And just for the record, may we have roll call, please?
Assembly members David Powell, Morrison, Gilbert?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Here.
Dalrymple?
Here.
And Mayor Persanda.
Okay. All right, we'll turn it over to our borough manager.
Excellent. And you should have had a copy of a report in here, so it should be in there if you want to kind of read through. But I don't plan on going through this like in detail. It's there for your reading, but I'm just going to kind of hit on the highlights as far as what we're currently doing with our metering system, some of the issues we're having with our metering system, and then kind of where we want to go with a new metering system. So the existing one we have, it's MVRS is what it is. It's an iTron system. And kind of currently the way it works is it's a DOS-based system. So it's old school. And then we have a handheld that we currently use, and we only have one handheld. And typically, from an operational standpoint, the way our guys do it is they typically all do their meter readings during the same week. And it takes them anywhere from 3 to 5 days to actually do a meter run. In the wintertime, it's closer to five because of the weather. And then summertime, they can probably get down 3 or 4. It's a substantial effort for three people because they each have their own run. We only have one handheld at this time. So the other two are actually documenting everything on paper. One person documents it in a handheld. And then when they come back, they then have to take it from their paper, enter it into a handheld that then downloads into our system. And then that all has to be consolidated, and then that dumps over into our billing system, which then gives us our totals. But in any given month, whenever we do this, we have multiple errors. As you can see, there's multiple times you can actually, especially on the handwritten notes, there's multiple times when you can actually write something wrong. So when it's wrong, your beginning and ending numbers, it'll show as an error, like there's something wrong, right? So, or something's extreme. So then we have to go back and do another meter read on it to verify the number.
So the system kicks it back.
Well, we tag it because it seems like,
oh, okay,
there'll be something that says,
so it's human intervention.
Yeah, yep, human intervention, human error. So multiple times you can actually have human intervention, human error in this process. I know a couple years back we bought a bunch of spare meters for the system we did have because we knew they were getting obsolete. I will say that we have about 20 meters left, and we're estimating those 20 meters are going to be gone probably within the next 6 months based on new construction and things like that. And then we also have two different types of meters. We have a mechanical meter, which is like any machinery, as it starts to wear, you don't get the accuracy that you do with a digital meter. So our newer meters are the digital meters, but again, the way it's read is still all manual read, or with our iTron handheld where you can kind of go by and it pick up and actually read it. And then what I didn't know when I first started getting in this is actually some of our meters for our housing units, they're actually inside the houses. So we actually have to knock on the door, go inside the house, and then take the meter read. So it's just they just built on top of where our meters were. So it's a very labor intensive process in the way we have it now. Our iTron system was no longer supported as of January 1st. So the system we do have for our software, if something breaks, it's kind of, we have to kind of figure that out for ourselves. There is a company that still makes the iTron handheld, so we could get a replacement if we wanted to. It doesn't make sense to do that. And then even buying the new meters, we have to get another batch of new meters. So we're kind of at the point now where we need to either stick with the dilapidated system we have now or kind of move to a new one. The one that we're recommending is an AMI system. It's an all digital system. It's all tied together. And the way it kind of works is as these new meters kind of go in, as they go and get spread out, they actually talk to each other and bring everything back to home base, which is you can read it from a laptop, a computer, and you can actually get all of the information you need from the computer through reading all of the different meters. You could actually turn them on and off. So any call-outs that our guys are typically doing whenever they have to do a turn-on or turn-off, like if someone moves and moves out and moves in, our guys have to manually go down there and do that now. Yeah. This could all be done from a laptop or a computer at our work desk. Whenever we do the actual meter pulls every month, it can all be done from a laptop. So instead of us spending three people out, and so on average, if you look at the cost of what that costs us right now to send three people out to actually take meter reads, it's anywhere between $100,000 to $150,000 is what we're paying to read meters. We have a lot of work that our guys need to do. I'd rather have them putting in new poles, mm-hmm. replacing new poles, doing that kind of work instead of doing meter reads. So mm-hmm. there's things that I'd like to much rather have them do. There's a lot of other benefits, you know, advantages to the system, the cost, the diagnostics. You can actually improve customer service. We're going to get better meter reads because it's actually a digital service, so it's not mechanically driven. So it's going to be very accurate. You can do historical averages. If there's any questions about billing, you can almost address it immediately on the phone while you're on the phone talking to somebody. Move in, move out, like especially for the harbor and things like that. Again, we don't have to send somebody down there to turn it on, turn it off. They can just do it from their desk. So, and then especially on the energy information, we'll get a lot better data on consumption histories, daily usage patterns, load profiles, where we're using the energy, how it's being used. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where we're at. Again, old, antiquated system, no longer supported, obsolete. It's time to move to a new system. So the cost of a new system, I think I have the numbers in there. I think it was anywhere between $640 and $745 are some of the estimates we've gotten for all of the meters and the system. I'm asking for $750 is what I'm asking for. There could be more, depends on if we install the meters or whether, I think that's the plan right now, is we'll actually go out and install the meters and do the replacement. So because this was done about 3-4 months ago, whenever we got the, I went ahead and bumped it up a little bit, just with inflation, $750 I think would cover it. So that's kind of what we're looking at overall, is $750 to be able to do that. And we'd like to take it from our funds that we have. And this is what I'm asking, and I put it in a, there's an agenda item on there today to then go move the funding from our light and power reserves to be able to purchase it.
How much is in that fund currently?
3.1 million, okay. I think. Right? 3 million?
3.8
million.
3.8, even better.
Okay. So I see it under point four that it could lower system losses due to improved loading and voltage control.
Right.
How much loss prevention are we?
I don't know.
You don't know because we haven't done it.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. We don't know. That's what the manufacturer says as far as what okay. they're selling. And I don't know the specifics on what it could be for us, but I do know on our mechanical meters we have now, it could be up to 10 to 15% of incorrect readings on some of our systems because it just slows down. Hmm. The older it gets, it's just not...
Yeah.
It's like a watch and it starts losing time. It's the same thing.
I looked this up, and interestingly enough, they said that AMI systems should be for big municipalities, but AMR is more suited. And AMR, I believe, is where it's radio frequency.
Correct.
And you have to have somebody drive around.
Correct. So an AMR system is a little cheaper.
Do you know how much cheaper?
I think it was around the $450 mark, $400 to $450.
About half as much.
Not quite half as much.
Okay.
My concern with the AMR system is that I would say in 10 years you're not going to have AMR anymore because the technology is there now to get past AMR and you're going to be an AMI.
Okay.
So I don't recommend, I mean, we were, where I came in the Coast Guard, we had smaller units and we would AMI systems for all of them.
Okay.
Just because you're still reducing that that labor intensive of actually having to drive around, because it's not, everything's not fed back to a system, so you can't turn things on and off. So you, okay, there's still going to be losses because you're still going to have to go out and do the turn off, turn ons, system call outs. You can't, you're not going to get the data accuracy that you get with this system. And this system isn't a, it's not a 10 year system. This should be a 20, 30, 40, 50 year system, especially with the software updates that we should be able to get and everything being digital.
Well, interestingly enough, I was reading about this, and suddenly I went from electrical systems to water systems.
Correct.
So there is an AMI for water systems. This, now, this, can they tie in?
They can. This system will also be able to tie it. Like if we do switch over to water meters, this will support a water meter system.
We so won't support have to. Both.
We won't have to get new software. So the software and everything like that will be the same software that we've already purchased. It'll be just tied in to the water systems.
And there's backup? Is it backed up to the cloud? Or?
I believe so. I don't know for sure, but I believe so. It's all backed up. Most stuff is fed, at least the stuff we had in the Coast Guard, it was all backed up to the cloud. And Rod, you mean all
this? Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. It is fully supported and backed up.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, it's a slick system from what I see. You know, really, the water is where we have the problem. Our electrical, I know my meters have been, had to be replaced once or twice.
Yeah, my concern is that if we lose our software, I mean, again, it's a DOS system, we will have to go full manual. Like, right now, at least we have some, but it'll turn into a full manual where everything, all the data entry will have to be done manually, is how we'll have to enter it. It would take us the full month to be able to do the monthly reads.
So then would the burden switch from the electrical department to monitor this? Would it come right to our finance?
We could pull it straight to the finance.
There? Yeah, okay.
Any more questions? Prepare everything here.
We've talked about this, yes.
Yep.
Exhaustively.
If I remember last time we talked about it, we thought that it wasn't a good idea.
I know.
Well, we didn't think it was a good idea. We thought we didn't need to do it.
Or we couldn't afford it or whatever.
Well, we thought, but it's fine. We have the spares, so we don't have to worry about it.
But I do have questions for Jeff here.
Sure.
And I'm totally naive about these systems, but how is that transmitted, that data? Is it through a cell phone?
It's not. So this system it's called a mesh network. So actually so the meter at the very far end will talk to the next meter, which talks to the next meter.
And what's that system that communicates? Is that
it's called a mesh network. I think I have it in here, the exact verbiage for it.
Is it like a Bluetooth or a...
It's kind of a Bluetooth, right.
Okay.
Yeah. So it just talks to the next meter over within range of whatever.
So there's not any issue with spots where you wouldn't get the communication.
No.
It comes as part of the deal.
Right. This system we're looking at it's the mesh network where it will actually tie in.
But within that mesh network, I think I read where if you have a failure, then I think you're instantly notified of
right.
that failure of 1 meter.
Correct.
In the system.
Correct.
And, so, you know, what... people are happy with this system. They don't have that many problems.
I'll tell you, in the Coast Guard, we're ecstatic with it because it enabled us to actually figure out where we're using energy, how we're using energy. Again, you can turn on and off where you needed to. So just a lot more visibility as far as where your energy was going and how it was being used.
Remember. Mm-hmm. Following up on that, Jeff, is this a flexible enough system to manage power, like you were mentioning? Say we get into a rolling brownout type situation?
It would. So we could actually, from this system here, we could actually pinpoint where we would want to turn off power and then set it up on a rotational basis. So like now we would have to actually go out and shut off breakers and then shut off a whole line. This system would actually allow us to manage a rolling blackout very targeted if we wanted to on how we wanted to do it.
And then reading this, I think my understanding was that you can do this to turn on service or turn off service from from here, basically.
Right. Yeah. So we won't have to send a technician out there.
It'd be real time
to drive out. Like if you know, if 30 minutes to drive out there, about real time.
The other question I had, kind of rolling this through into water, I agree very much with what Patty was saying, that it could do both, but I assume that it would require a new kind of water meter than we have.
It would. We have to buy new water meters.
And then we would start a new construction requiring that kind of meter if we went
correct.
This way. So we would
redo. We could. And then I would even recommend, like, for the water, as we start getting into it, like, your where we can and some of our bigger facilities that use a lot more water, is maybe start with those facilities first and then kind of slowly work back. And it'd be tough to get to all of our houses just because they're just how we've run water to a lot of our houses.
And I live in my driveway.
Right. It's going to be challenging for the water.
Well, with us potentially raising water rates, you know, the metered rates, the public may ask to be metered.
They could save.
And so we should be proactive and kind of think about that. The number of AMI meters you're ordering, are you ordering enough? Does this $750,000 include enough for
it covers all the
new builds, potential?
It's supposed to cover them all until I get an RFP out on the street. We will put those requirements into the RFP.
Okay. But, I mean, will you have a surplus hand?
No.
But we could put in, like, a 5% or however many extra meters we think we're going to need, we could build that into the RFP. It may be a little bit more than the 750, but we could build that in.
Okay. Yeah, I would think that would be wise.
It would.
Yes.
And then the installation, you take, cut out off the power, you take the old meter off, you put the AMI in.
That's the same location? Same location, yeah. We would use the same hardware that's in the field now.
Okay. And if I have a power voltage regulator between the meter and me.
It just plugs right into it.
No interference with that?
If we approve this, how long until you'll be able to get all of it done? Get everything here, everything switched out and be operational?
Probably going out to bid, so we have to write the specs up, probably 3-4 weeks, another two months. So probably 4 months would probably be a good target date to start the work, and then if our guys do it, then it's probably another 3 or 4 months by them actually changing everything out. So.
Okay.
Just a full disclosure, some vendors are having problems getting. We've had supply chain problems around the world,
right.
And so we'll have to look at part of the RFP in as part of the delivery as part of the RFP. Can you deliver? Because right now there's everybody's having some problems with delivery parts delivery.
Yeah, I think my garage door was 6 months. So.
I just all perk.
As long as you factor that in.
Yeah.
And then the old meters, is there any way to sell them?
We could probably offer them to eBay people. I don't know.
Yeah. We've actually had, I was in Juneau, we've had other communities that you can have ours. You can sell them. So it's
easy. Exactly right.
Maybe make an art project out of them or something.
Bird nest.
Yeah.
I think how much copper's in there.
Yeah, not too much in there.
Well, so, I think we've answered. The other thing that, you know, is kind of twisting in my mind is the water angle.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder.
And we can. We can.
If there would be any savings if we incorporate both of them, or maybe we're chewing off too much.
Yeah, I think right now it's just we would, I think, get this done, get the system set up, learn a little bit, and then slowly start implementing water would be what I prefer to do from an operational standpoint, if we could.
Okay, and they're waterproof and everything. Did you have a question?
I did. I'm not sure when to.
Well, I'm thinking of everything that can go wrong.
All done.
It rains.
First rain.
I'm just going back in my mind, Patty, you might remember better than me, but we declined this before, and I think it was cost. Everybody liked it, and it's just the cost. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's still a factor, and I don't know if that's appropriate to speak to that now, because I'm going to ask to have it put into the unfinished business.
Okay. Yeah, it's hefty cost, but the
labor savings. Mm-hmm.
And that's why I was thinking of, well, maybe we don't do the AMI, maybe we go to the AMR, and then maybe we could, I mean, I had this worked out, I penciled it out, maybe we could get water, too, for the same price, you know, overall.
As a used, you know, like buying a car, you can buy a used vehicle or a certified used vehicle. Certified used costs you a lot more money, but it's not, you know, it's not going to break down right outside the lot. Like we could nickel and dime ourselves to death and then like not have electricity metering.
But I'm only going to go 10 miles max. So.
So you're all right. So you can get a horse in a cart.
Yeah. Rod.
Jeff, if I might, the AMR system will not support water metering. It will not support water metering.
It won't do the water.
No. So the once you get the AMI infrastructure in, the backbone in, any type of meters can talk into the backbone system. So the electric meters, the water meters, they all basically have the same technology that talks to the backbone. And that's where the AMI can support the water meters, but the AMR system does not.
Could not. Okay.
Uh-huh. Actually, some AMR meter systems do support water and electric as well. Yeah. I looked into that a long time ago. But the big thing to understand about, you know, how you can find some synergies with either system is, like Rod said, the backbone is the same, so they both work and talk to that same backbone system. But the in-field implementation for each of the different utility systems is separate, completely separate. So, you know, by installing a water meter, you know, you're looking at a completely different installation method and technology or methodology as opposed to, you know, they're just plug and play right now with the existing. With the water meters, we don't have anything in place right now. So we're looking at a huge system and project to implement new water meters. So,
yeah.
And that's either in vaults in the ground or at each location, which is a huge undertaking because you've got to have the water meter located at a certain point with the water service line coming into the house if it's not in a vault outside in the ground, you know. So that's a huge project, and you wouldn't find any synergies between the two with the exception of just having that backbone in place that your water meter system could then talk to, same as your electric meters are talking to, right?
Okay.
I'm curious how many times we can ask our experts for their opinion and then tell them their opinion we don't want to listen to anymore. That's the other thing. Like, we're, you know, we pay these guys to, like, tell us what the smartest thing to do is. And
well, it's good to ask questions.
It is good to ask questions.
And
we've been saying no a lot, and I think this is a...
Yeah, and we do watch the money.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we had a really good grasp on how much it would cost.
Well, and save also. That wasn't made clear either.
The savings,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's every year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
that's good.
It's about a 4 to 5 year payback.
Yeah.
On our investment, which to me, it's anything below 5 is really good.
Yeah.
So imagine if DOS like exploded and then we had to have Mason walk to every house and manually write that all in. First of all, you quit. And second of all, like, you'd spend double this every month.
Yeah, my only concern with like the AMR system is to me, I kind of equate it to you're on a DOS system and you jump to Windows 95 instead of going to the current Windows platform.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where you're at. It's like you're buying old technology that's eventually going to be obsolete again.
Yeah. Well, there's some pretty good pros and cons that I read that, you know, were pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So, okay, we have that to decide on. Uh-huh.
One more question. I probably know the answer or not, but these systems can be protected from cyber attack. You know, you read about that constantly now, and it seems like more and more are going to utility systems and things.
Right.
That probably is the whole borough, you know, and its functions, but
right.
That's easy to protect or can be protected.
I would say it's protected probably the same way everything else is, and we rely on Blackpoint to do most of our IT cybersecurity systems that we do have.
So you don't see a big vulnerability there, really?
Not any more than what we have for anything else we have.
Might have been the advantage of a DOS system is it'd be like using Morse code. No, you know, like China's not targeting it. It's not China. You know,
well, that's these actors. Yeah, that and most of our stuff is manual entry anyway, so it's like until you enter it in the system. So, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Good. Good discussion. I like that we're moving forward. This is good. Okay, we're going to end the workshop. And do you think Dave is going to be here?
Yeah, he didn't say he wasn't going to.
Okay.
You done with yours?
Yeah, man, thanks.
They're only half size.
No judgment here.
So how's the baby doing?
She's that's the thing that's ever happened on planet Earth. She's awesome.
Are you getting sleep?
Oh, yeah, you know, here and there.
Yeah.
He's young.
A little time just during the day. Sometimes I'll fall asleep at work and put a snow blanket over me.
Yeah.
No, she's actually pretty good, but it's not like an undisturbed night's sleep.
Yeah. Oh no. No.
Even the best baby.
No, I remember those days and. Whew.
Yeah. Oh, she's awesome. Got a pretty cush job. Just sleeps all day.
Nice.
Is there somebody that can explain the full funding of the water project, the water treatment project? Do you have those figures in front of you? Does Amber?
What was the question?
I think Mason does.
Or Mason. I'm kind of getting lost on all the full figures of that we have so far for the water treatment system.
I can provide it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait, I think she's going to the store.
During the meeting, maybe could you?
Sure.
Okay.
Thank you.
kids and grown-ups love it.
Kids can eat them. So I get to eat them.
Good evening. It's Tuesday, April 26, 2022, 6 p.m., and I call the assembly to order. And I'm going to do roll call first. Okay, roll call, please.
Okay. Assembly members, David Powell, Morrison, Gilbert.
Here.
Powell.
Here.
DeBoard.
Here.
Dalrymple.
Here.
And Mayor Prisanka.
Okay, thank you. Now, Pledge of Allegiance will be led by Assembly Member Ryan Howe. Please stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, item three, there are no ceremonial matters. Item three, persons to be heard. Thank you. All right, we have one person to be heard, Caitlin Cardinal. Please come forward. Welcome.
Thank you. Take a second to introduce myself. I'm Caitlin Cardinal. I am the executive director of the Stikine River Jet Boat Association. I represent five out of the seven or eight local jet boat tour operators in town. The purpose of my position is mainly I work as a middleman between these independent businesses and the cruise ships that come through into town, and I work on behalf of my operators to provide tours to the cruise ships through them. I come to you today with an issue that is a little bit late notice to do much about right now for the long term. But I am seeking some type of temporary solution, and I wanted to just bring this to attention to the assembly to hopefully get it on some kind of budget work session for the long term. Specifically, what I'm talking about is the lack of public restroom facilities for when cruise ship passengers are in town. As you know, we haven't had much for tourism in the way of cruise ships the last 2 years. However, this year we are going to be seeing a significant rise back to what we would hopefully consider normal for cruise ship passengers. I believe the estimated capacity count that we're going to see this year is about 20 to 25,000 people. In 2019, just to give you some context, we had about 40, which is one of our biggest years ever for the cruise ship industry. And also to give you a little bit more context, next year for 2023, we're looking to see a 50% rise in the number of ships that are stopping in Wrangell. This year we've got about 50 mid-sized ships coming. Next year we're going to see about 75. So we're going to see a slight rise in the passenger count coming through our town. This year in specific, we've got a handful of days, one day in specific, the 23rd of May, we're going to see three cruise ships. So that's going to put over 1,000 passengers hitting the streets of Wrangell with no place to go potty. Potentially big issue. And then we've got probably five or so other days where we've got two cruise ships in town. So we'll just see a big influx of passengers. We've got the small two-stall public restroom facility near the Elks is an option. And then after speaking with Cindy Crary at the Nolan Center, they've got quite a few public use restrooms as well, which is a good start to address the immediate problem right now. What I wanted to talk about for this season is to hopefully seek some kind of temporary solution, whether it's bringing in a block of four or so porta potties to maybe set up near the cruise ship dock. I know that we had a couple near Petroglyph Beach last year for people who are doing tours through that area. a little bit of a snag is that the stinkers, a company called Stinkers that would pump the porta potties out, no longer is operating in Wrangell. I believe they sold to a man named something Haley, Robert Haley, in Petersburg. I also want to disclose to you that I have brought this up and discussed it with Jeff, the city manager, already, who I believe has spoken to various department heads about this issue as well. I also sit on the Economic Development Committee, and I've chatted about it with Carol and a couple of my operators who sit on the Port Commission, and the CVB board have elevated it to that level as well. I just wanted to come to you today to really bring you to attention to the potentially big issue we're going to have this year and in the coming years for the desperate need for more public access restroom facilities in town. I also looked into the amount of local downtown businesses who have accessible public restroom facilities, and I counted around 37 businesses in the downtown walkable area. About three of those have what I would call public access restrooms, two of which are bars. And then five out of those 37 additionally would have what I would call a patrons only restroom kind of policy. And those are like the smaller restaurants. The majority of the downtown businesses here do not have public access restrooms or the capacity to provide for the public in this situation. I know that Sitka is also having a similar issue right now. They're seeing several 100% passenger growth for cruise ship folks coming in this year. And I know that they were paying off some of their local businesses to open up their restroom facilities to kind of help mitigate that issue. I know that could be a potential solution here, but given how few restrooms our downtown businesses have, I don't think that's going to be a long-term solution. I think this is a really important issue because tourism is one of the top three driving economic industries in this town, and I believe that if we do it sustainably, we can continue to help that grow. And again, all more support for kind of providing some infrastructure to lay a path to continue that economic growth for the borough. And that's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been a request and a problem. May I request that this be put on the next agenda?
How about under assembly business?
Okay, I'll request it then. I think I can do that. All right, thank you. Item four, amendments to the Assembly Member Dalrymple.
Madam Mayor, of course I have some amendments. I would like to move four of the resolutions under the consent agenda to unfinished business.
Okay.
And starting with B, resolution number 04-22-1689. I'd like to move C, resolution 04-22-1690. Excuse me, I only had three. And then the last one would be D, resolution number 04-22-1691. Again, to the unfinished business.
All right. We have a motion to amend the agenda. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. Motion by Dalrymple, second by Powell. Any discussion? Okay, poll vote, please.
Sure. Assembly members DeBoer?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Ryan Howell?
No.
David Powell?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. All right, conflict of interest. Does any assembly member have any conflict of interest on any agenda item? Okay, hearing none. Consent agenda as amended. Take a motion.
Motion to
move to approve the consent agenda as submitted. That's adjusted.
It's adjusted. Okay.
Second.
All right. Motion by Dalrymple, second by DeBoard. Any discussion? Okay, hearing none. Poll vote, please.
Yes, Assembly members Ryan Powell.
Yeah.
DeBoard.
Yeah.
Dalrymple.
Yes.
David Powell.
Yes.
And Vice Mayor DeBoard.
Yes. All right, item 7, Borough Manager's Report.
I have my notes, I just can't get to them right now, so I guess I have nothing further to add. I can't find them.
I don't have the page number on those. Does any Assembly member have any questions about the Borough Manager's Report? Assembly member DeBoard?
Just two things. I'd like to, I think this is the appropriate place for it. It's add an item to the agenda for the timber cruise.
Actually, under scratch
that one. Second thing, it's kind of going back to what Caitlin just said. Is there any COVID funding out there that could potentially, it's a health and sanitation issue? Is there any COVID funding, or can we at least look and see if there's any COVID funding that would be available to take care of that?
I don't think we have any left, but we can definitely take a look.
Or any upcoming?
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. And then
very good idea.
Yeah, and then I did. And then I did find it for the my notes. So we did. We did have an unscheduled visit by UnCruz, so I tried to let everybody know about that. We tried to scramble as fast as we could as well on the docks to accommodate, and we're trying to work with UnCruz right now to actually get a schedule for all of their ships. So we're working on that, and then we're also trying to work with other cruise lines as well to try to get, there is some COVID mitigation stuff that we still have to get through and they have to get through, so we're trying to get all that stuff signed right now. When we were submitting for round two of the COVID grant, we were notified, that's the CDBG that we did at the last meeting. We were notified that we could only submit for one, and we, for round one. So we can't submit for round two if we got accepted for round one. The problem is we don't know if we got accepted for round one. We have a lot of other grants we're trying to apply for as well right now. So I just kind of made an executive decision to go ahead and work on the ones we need to go for, such as the, one of the ones we're really trying to work on is we're trying to get Denali funding, another $2 million for the water treatment plant. So that's kind of been our focus is on some of the other ones, whenever we don't even know if we can even apply for this one yet. So we kind of halted that until we find out that information.
Madam Mayor?
Yeah.
Yes, Assembly Member Dalrymple.
Jeff, I know in your notes, and it's been mentioned before, but is there a way to ask the administration what the holdup is on that grant? Because things are piling up where we're foregoing big opportunities here.
Right.
And I know there's probably some diplomacy involved, but maybe there's
I'll see if I can reach out and
what that is, because I've been hearing that for months now.
Yeah, I'll follow up
many weeks anyway.
Any other questions for the borough manager? I have a question about the scrap metal collection. How is that going, and is it still continuing?
It is. It's still continuing and still ongoing. So as far as I know, everything, they're still collecting and still looking for additional scrap metal out there.
Okay, good. So public knows. All right. Item 8, borough clerk's file.
I don't have a lot, except we kind of talked about it before, that we have the work session scheduled for the enterprise funds and for May 4th on Wednesday, and so we were looking at having a special meeting as well starting at 7, so 5:30 to 7 for the work session for the budget. And then 7 o'clock for the purpose, a special assembly meeting for the purpose of an executive session to discuss the mill site property. And of course I'll send a reminder out about that when that time comes. I want to also say I got a call from the chamber asking about tax-free day, asking if we changed it. That she's getting several calls saying that they thought it was earlier in the month of May, but it's not. It's May 21st, and we have not changed it. The assembly approved that date, and that's the date it's set for. Next Monday, May 9th, is the Board of Equalization meeting. I know that our assessors are working hard to resolve the appeals that were received. I don't know where we're at. Mason, do you know where we're at on that?
The assessment appeals?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't heard back from Lila yet, so.
Okay, so I know they're working hard to get those resolved. So if there are any to be heard, you'll get those at the meeting. And then the OMA training, May 11th. Is going to take place at 6 o'clock here for any assembly members that wish to attend, and any other boards and commissions are also invited. And I send those out to the reporting secretaries and such for them to send that invitation out. And if you have any questions on your responsibilities as the Board of Equalization, you said it's a quasi-judicial board, and that information is in my clerk's report under kind of outlines your responsibilities and stuff. So that's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? All right. Yes.
Didn't you say we're having a meeting May 4th?
Yes. Jeff called a special assembly meeting for May 4th.
We have a Parks and Rec meeting May 4th too.
I will talk to Kate about that.
Okay, that's on the in here at 5:30.
Catch.
And we don't have a meeting tomorrow night?
Yes, you do.
Okay.
You have a work session.
I just associated my meeting's upcoming, so.
Yep, you have a work session scheduled for tomorrow at 5:30.
Okay.
Budget meeting. All right, thank you. Item 9, Mayor and Assembly Business. Assembly Member DeBoard.
Thank you. I would like to add an item to the next agenda, please, to discuss a potential timber cruise at the Sunny Bay property.
Get that.
Mm-hmm.
Assembly Member
Dalrymple. Madam Mayor, I'd like to report to the Assembly on a project that the borough is involved with the Forest Service on, which is the building a new cabin on the island or on the district. The Forest Service had a Zoom meeting, I think last week or maybe the week before. It had a fairly light turnout, but some really good discussions on that. And I just wanted to let everybody know that that's ongoing, and they're asking for comments on that due by May 15th to DeGala at the Forest Service. So if folks are interested in a new cabin, they would really like to hear where that new cabin would be.
So. All right. Any other assembly business? And I would like to request an agenda item concerning public restrooms on the next meeting.
Did you want an action item or just a discussion?
Well, it depends on how fast our borough manager can make things happen.
How about like a discussion of possible action?
That's great. Because the tourist season is upon us, or soon will be. All right, any other comments? All right, item 10, Mayor and Assembly Appointments. And we do have an appointment. I'm happy to report for the Parks and Recreation Advisory Board. And with the consent of the Assembly, I'd like to appoint Siona Koch for that board and thank her for volunteering. All right. Item 11, public hearing matters. Item 11A, it's on page 183, Assembly. This is resolution number 03-22-1675 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, creating the fee and rate schedule for the Wrangell Water Department and implementing a structure for increasing fees and rates.
Move to approve resolution number 03-22-16.
Oh, I have to, excuse me, I have to open.
It's a public hearing, that's right.
Yes, I did pause there. That's right. At this point, I'll open up the public hearing and get an administrative report.
Thank you. So this did get moved to a public hearing just because there was substantial changes from the last meeting. And again, this is, it was proposed to go from a 20% to a 30%, a 21% to a 30%. So that's what this fee structure will do. It goes to a 30%.
Okay. Any comment from the public? All right, seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
You want me to do that now?
Yes.
Move to approve resolution number 03-22-1675.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by DeBoard. Borough manager, report.
Yes, we've had quite a bit of discussion over this for the past month, and we do have a need to increase fees to the water treatment plant just to be able to afford some of the loans that we do have coming up, and then also to be able to look at some of the capitalized expenditures we have coming up as well. The 30% will definitely give us a jump start on meeting some of those needs that we do have, so recommend this moving forward.
Okay. Assembly members, do you have any questions, concerns? Okay, I do. I need numbers.